page Kufchav, we're learning about how we finished talking about the Sheva Mitzvahs of Menenoyach, and we're talking now about Mitzvahs Yisrael, Peyag Mitzvahs, Mazel Tov, and talking about the Peyag Mitzvahs. The Maharal was explaining how the Mitzvahs and the Mitzvahs alone have the unique ability to take the Koichas HaNefesh of a Jew, all the latent, hidden, mysterious koiches of a Jewish soul that are bound in this world to the physical body, and the mitzvahs alone have the ability to draw out from the Jew these latent, hidden koiches. Only the mitzvahs can do that. Only the mitzvahs can do that. Remember, that's the difference between the neshama of a Jew and Lahavdil by Ben Noach, where there the Loiseh says the seven mitzvahs are to preserve the natural instinctive quality of the human being. The seven mitzvahs. The Tayag mitzvahs are not to preserve the natural humanness. The Tayag mitzvahs are to draw out the superhuman kaiches of a Jew, to draw them into his life, that it should be menakayach alapoil, to reach the ultimate tachlis, which is Dveikus Bashem. To be Dovak to Hashem. Kufchav, the Da'oid. Here, the Maharal is going to explain more about this interesting shutfis, the interesting relationship between the guf and the neshama, the body and the soul. This is a very, very important and fame and well-known piece here, but here the morale is more bekitzer, and in the footnotes is going to be hashlama, and then afterwards when we finish the parak, we need to learn a little bit in chassidus how this concept would be fully developed in the Torah of Baal Shem Tov, but it all comes from the morale, but how with the morale and the zohar, how eventually, especially in the mamorim from Chabad, how these ideas became fully developed. The Da'oid, and to know also. Ki hagarin asher nizra ba'adama, a seed that is planted in the earth. Hu maitzi ilon uperes ve'olin ve'anofim. This seed has the ability to draw out from the earth trees and the fruits and the branches and so on. And the leaves, the fruits, heimitzurim yuchedis. This is apples, these are oranges, these are pears. It has a certain tzura. Sheroi el hagarin mitzat tivam yuchedlai. That are uniquely connected and become and befit that particular unique seed. Each seed has its koyach that when it comes into contact, when it's brought together with the Adama, that somehow from this seed there's able to come a tree and fruits and so on. Look at footnote 44. Mashamadgish kanashen yizraba Adama, that is planted in the earth. Yizraba pidvar begur aye brachis paragbeis aisyutes shakosav sham. The Maharal says there in the Gurayan brachis, ki inyan hakvura. What's the inyan of kvura, of burial? Hatmon ladova shiyya ba'ozit. Burial, kvura, by Klal Yisrael, which is the origin of that way of taking care of a dead person. Kvura, the Maharal explains, burial is not because we have no future concern or interest for this person. Adarabah. By placing in the earth, which is the source of growth of life in this world, the Maharal explains that when a body is buried, that's not God forbid disposing of a body; it's planting the body. It's nizra ba'adama. It's a hatmon ledovah shiyah ba'osid. It's preparing and concealing something that's going to be in the future. U'mneisha ha'adam hu b'koyach liyos chay la'osid. The Maharal says, since man is going to come back to life in the future, Yesh like Kfura Ba'afra, therefore it is necessary that it be buried in the earth, which is the place of growth. So it's not only is it not the end, is it not the completion, is it not the conclusion, but the same way that the seed, when the seed is put into the ground and it deteriorates, it rots, and the seed disappears and somehow is from that miraculous relationship between the seed and the earth, there will come forth new life. So too, the person, after he leaves this present state of physical existence, he's put into the ground, and the deterioration takes place. But somehow, in a remarkable way, this is going to bring to the renewal of life. It's going to be by Tchias HaMeisim. Kiyakvur, the Maral says, burial, Kiyakvur, Shu Hatmana, burial, Hatmana, Moirish Shuhu B'Koyach L'Dover Ha'osit Kishayichyu HaMeisim. Burying something in the ground means that it's being prepared for a renewed life. That which is revealed, that's already, that can be seen, that's something which is already bepoil, that means it's something which has been activated, it's now existing in its complete form. V'hadover ha-nitman, that which is hidden, is bekayach, that's the potential. So therefore, the body is placed in the earth, which is the place of growth, because this is preparing the body for Tchias HaMeisim. V'chein mevur b'netzach Yisrael lamedalad, sh'ador v'atomen ba'adom hu b'koyach. When something is placed in the ground, it means that it now has the potential to be reborn. U'mamten u'metzapu l'sha'as ha'itza'os u'lapoyach. V'hu adin v'yamidu l'garin asher nizra ba'adom. And this is exactly what the Maral is talking about in this moshel to explain the relationship between the nefesh and the guf, the soul and the body, of the seed that is planted in the ground. It means that there certainly is, when you look at things, if one would look at things and not know how it works, then you would say, it's a shame to take this dead body and to put it in the ground. Sechmonis. Better we should maybe hang it on the wall or something. Or maybe they should do something to preserve the body, like you see by the Umas Ha'olam, there's such a thing. But we understand that by being placed in the earth, that means that we believe that this person, his life has not yet been completely vapor. He hasn't reached his state of shleimus. He has yet a new life to look forward to, something much more refined, something greater than the life that was here in this world. Therefore, the same way that a person wouldn't understand if you would see somebody taking a seed and putting it to the ground, what are you doing? Are you throwing it away? But of course, the tachlis is that there should be growth. What we're going to learn in this Svarma Kedoshim is the whole Indian of the Chafiris HaBe'erais, that now in these parshiyos that are coming up, the Indian of the main malacha of the Avos was digging wells, was digging. The main malacha. And the whole Indian of Be'er Mayim Chayim and the Neshama being planted in the guf, the soul being planted in the guf, which you would say looks like it's a shame, it's a chmonis, you take a nice neshama from Shemayim, was very happy with the malachim singing, whatever, it was good, and then you take the neshama and you put it into such a degrading world, the physical world, and it's stuck in this crazy place, in this coarse encasement of life, in chulu. So the Maral's Marshal is telling us that all of these, this is all one amazing hatmana, a geniza, that's preparing for a life that's infinitely greater than the life form that was before. Back on top. This three lines up from the bottom of the right column. Va'al taimishim ha'yamaitziyah nofim ha'olim b'tzurah cheres, shayezerah, rakikah gozer ha'teva shel ha'garin. Listen, if you put in a seed, you put in a seed for oranges, and it comes up apples. So, it's not because there's anything wrong with that, I could use the apples also. But it certainly is not the teva that Hashem was geizer. Hashem decreed that this garin, this seed, when it's placed into the earth, its teva is to give birth to this type of a tree. Ubitsura zaisa betoya haze yaitzi hagarin haze ala pearl hagoma. And is davke in this shape, in this form, or whatever, the apple tree, and with these type of leaves, and this type of branches and the bark and so on, this is its teva, to be fully activated. When is it b'shleimus? It's not b'shleimus when it's in the form of a seed. It has enormous potential. It has enormous potential, but it's not b'shleimus. The b'shleimus is only going to be, its perfection is only going to be when we have that last apple on that last branch is opening up. That's the shleimus of the Elon. It's the same thing. I'm thinking maybe I'll talk a little bit on Shabbos about this. That you see the first time that the Lashon of Chinuch is mentioned in the whole Tanakh is in this parasha. This is Vayarek Eschanichov, those who were under his care, and he prepared them for wars. The first time the Chinuch is mentioned, Rashi says different pshatim, what Chinuch means. But they all have in common is that Chinuch, Rashi says, is that when you prepare a kli, like Chanukas HaMizbech, Chanukas HaMishkan, Chanukas HaBayis, it means when you prepare something for its future. It's the beginning of something, and you're preparing it, like preparing a kli, Rashi brings down, for its future use. That's the beginning. Chinuch means to prepare for the future. It means to prepare something or someone. Rashi also brings the pasuk Chanoich Lanar, Al Pi Darko. Chanoich Lanar, which says in Mishlei, that's the meaning of Chinuch. And that's why it says by Avraham Avinu such a lashon as bon of Achrav, right? What's the lashon of the pasuk there? Huh? Marashay Tzav as bon of Achrav. Everything by Avraham Avinu is with the cheshbon of Achrav. What's going to be from this? What's going to grow from this? A parent who's a real mechanech, a rebbe who's a real mechanech, the cheshbon is not just that this child should be matzliach now in my class or in the house. The shaila of the peiris, that's why children are called peiris. The shaila is, what's going to be long after I'm gone, when I'm not here anymore, what's going to be in the future with these peiris? Right? L'chu banim shimuli. What's going to be with these peiris? That's why the Meir Shapira says that you see that the connection Rashi brings is to the Chanukas HaMizbech, the Chanukas HaBayis, because the din is Kedusha Rishon and Kitchel HaShaita and Kitchel HaAsad Lavan. That the Kedusha HaMikdash, the Kedusha of the Mikdash was not just the Shaita, it wasn't only for the time, but it was the Asad Lavan, it was for all time. That's what Chinuch means. Chinuch means that there's that those trees, that the shleimus will ultimately be many, many years ahead in the future when you might not even be there to see it. But that's when that's when the peiros are there. Because that's the shleimus ha'ilan. The ha'olan, the leaves, ha'peiros, and the fruits. Kimash roi el teva ha'garin, as is the nature of the seed. K'moy chein atzmei ha'nefesh. So this is the nimshal. The nimshal is Shehim Lamala, the nefesh, which is from above, the nefesh, which is so refined and so beautiful and so perfect. Hizaka utahayir is pure. Benitne beguf ha'adam lamata, in the same way that the seed, which is beautiful, or the fruit, whatever, or the body of a person who's died, is taken and put into this place, is put into the earth, to decay and to rot. So too, you know that the neshama gives a scream. The neshama is afraid to come into this world. The neshama is afraid to come down into the physical world. As Mashbina said to Yitzhak Valti Rosha, and the neshama has to take a shvua, has to swear. And the shvua means to give it kaiches, to give, as the tzaddikim explained, to give the neshama kaiches, to be able to withstand this journey. But the tachlis of creation is davka, that the nefesh, the neshama, be placed into the body. And that's not for the purpose of, God forbid, bringing to his destruction. Adarabah, there's something greater that comes as a result of man being placed in this world. being planted in this world. Every one of us was planted in the body. Planted in the body because Hashem could have left down the Shamas and Shemaim, it would have been beautiful. So it must be that Hashem has a tachlis, and the tachlis is the peiris and the olim, the ilanas, the trees. That's why I had a machshava last year, Tu B'Shvat, how it's interesting how where the children go is called kindergarten. Kindergarten, which is actually a term that was first used in Germany. The garden of children. That's where children begin to learn. It's called the garden of children. It's a beautiful, lush kindergarten. We're so used to saying it, we don't think what it means. Gan Yeladim. A kindergarten, it means that the planting takes place in that garden. And even though for the neshama it's a big yerida to come to this world, but the yerida and the neshama which we're going to learn in the Chabad Svarim, the yerida and the neshama, the yerida of course is almanas for the purpose of the aliyah of a greater level that a human being can achieve, greater than any malach can achieve. That's the tachlis of being planted in this world. So that's what the Maharal says. That this soul, which is so pure, is placed into this body, which is so coarse, unrefined. That somehow, through this combination, the neshama is going to be fully realized. That the Ramchal says that after a person dies, the neshama in Gan Eden is waiting with great longing to return to the guf by Tchias HaMeisim, by the resurrection of the dead. So you could ask Akasha, why do you want to come back into this mess? You don't have a good over there? You don't have a good? So you understand the same way that the Vilna Gaon was crying before he died, he was holding on to his talis katan. So that somehow, in the Zerea Tzedakah, is Matzmiach Yeshua, is that the time he talks about in one of his letters, Zorei Tzedakah is Matzmiach Yeshua, is Matzmiach Keren Yeshua, is Samach David Avdecha. The whole Bria was made in such a way of something being planted, which looks like it's a terrible, terrible yerida, terrible mistake, gefährlich. But that somehow, over time, there's going to be something greater. But that, of course, the frightening period in between is man's bechir. It's man's choice. So the Maharal says, and man has to bring out, through this combination of the body and the soul, man can bring out all of these latent koiches and bring them and reveal them in this physical world, which is the tachlis of all creation, to reveal Hashem's presence in the physical world. In the same way that the seed only is able to achieve its perfection in the form of the tree and the fruits after it's been planted. And the nefesh, by being in the body and struggling with making the right choices and all that relationship, all the hardships that's caused by that relationship between the body and the soul, but ultimately the nefesh can achieve its greatest perfection davka through this relationship. Let's look at footnote 46. This concept that the soul is planted in the body, that's why the Maharal says that's why a human being is called Adam, right, from the Lashon of Adam. Man, the soul of man is placed into this physical world and he's called Adam, just like the seed is placed in the earth, which is Adama. So too the soul is placed into the body, and the man is called Adam. He says, "Re'ei dvar b'nesiv ha'tayra shikasa." The Maharal writes in the Nesiv ha'tayra, "Ki ha'adam hu b'kayach." Why is man called Adam? Because Adam means you're not yet, but you could be. Adam means, like it's the Isis, it's brought down. Adam is the Isis of Ma'od, very. And Adam, it's also Avram, David, Mashiach. It's brought down this throne. It means what man is potential. there's unbelievable potential. But on his own, stam, if nothing is done, the same way with the tree, if nothing is done, if it's not cared for, if it doesn't receive proper water and sunshine and so on, doesn't have a chance. So too, he says, ki adam ubekayach. Man is only potential. What is the water and the sunlight that a Jew needs? Torah mitzvahs. Torah mitzvahs is what the soul needs. When that human being, that Adam, who's composed of the body and the soul, is fed, is watered with Torah mitzvahs, that's going to eventually lead to the shleimus. Wakach nikra, the Maharal says, b'shem Adam. That's why the human being is called Adam. Al shem Adam.
The
Torah and the mitzvahs. Well, he says also that they're going to be the payers that come out. So it has. You know, on the one hand, it's through Torah and mitzvahs that the entire system can work. That's the watering and the sunlight, and it's also the beautiful fruit that a Jew can bear in this. You know, told the same shul tzaddikim is ma'asim tovim. It's also called payers. He says this also. Lekach nikru b'shem Adam al shem Adam, ki Adam hu b'kayach v'yatsa al apayl. Sheha Adam sheyesh bai ha-seichel, nikru Adam al shem Adam, a human being who has seichel, who has this enormous potential of seichel, of spirituality, he's called Adam al shem Adam, v'zehu ki doime el ha-Adam, the human body resembles the earth. Shnizru b'achita, when the grain is planted in the earth, Shuzerinaki, it's pure, it's clean, that seed. Ba'adama, that somehow by being in the earth, it's maitsia, zera alapayal, it's able to extract from within that seed its latent potential. Achihibapayal, until it's mamish what it could become. Vekach nizer begufa adam, so too the soul is planted in man's body. Shunivram and ha'adama, that was created dafka from the adama, that's why it's created from the earth. And the neshama she hizako nekiya bleib seilis, the neshama which is perfectly clean and pure. Mitzarech adam lahoitzi el apoyel. But it's up to man. It's up to man to be moitzi el apoyel through his ishtalus, through his struggles with the Yetzirah. It's up to man to be moitzi el apoyel hadova asher nizra by that which was planted within him. Lekach nikra adam, that's why he's called Adam. Va'atayr v'hamasim heim pri. Now, on the other hand, this is what Aaron is saying. Torah and mitzvahs are the payers also. Torah and mitzvahs are the payers. They're the result. It's the shleimus. K'mesh Amar Kosev, Imru tzadik ki toiv ki pri ma'al aleihem yechelu. That's the... Why is the tzadik toiv? Because the tzadik enjoys his fruits. The fruits of the tzadik are his mitzvahs and masim toiv, his Torah. Rasha eina moitzi han nesham al apoyal, the Torah mitzvahs nikra bor. Therefore, the term that's used for a person who's an Amharetz, but it's like an extreme Amharetz. It's not even with an Edelkeit. You know, you have an Amharetz who remembers which parish it is, you know what I'm saying? But if you want to speak about an Amharetz, like, and Rosh Hashiva wants to say somebody's really an Amharetz, he's a boor. And the boor means not only is an Amharetz, but he's empty. He's empty. So we understand why. So the Maharal says, Shehu kamay sdei bor, like a field, the term that's being used for a field that can't bear any fruit. It's just pockmarked, and it's something which it's desolate. There's no potential. Therefore, an Amharis who had a certain amount of potential, I didn't mean necessarily that he could have been a Ragachover or a Chaim Brisker, but he had potential which he didn't activate. Since Nebuch, like maybe I once told you that I heard from my Rebbe, Zechut Tzadik Livracha, that he said that once he had Rebbe Yeruchim was the Meshgiach, and he remembers that's the time, but I guess that when he was in Mir in Europe, so Rebbe Yeruchim was the Meshgiach. So Rebbe Yeruchim there once, they, you know, who was sitting in the Shia there, all future Gedolei Yisrael. So he said that he was sitting, and all of a sudden Rabbi Yeruchim started. He told the boys, "Look outside." look outside. And they turned around and they looked outside, and Rabbi Yochum said, asked the first bacher, what do you see out there? So the boy said, you know, I see Moshe the Schneider, you know, the tailor. So Rabbi Yochum says, name. And he asked the next one, what do you see this? He says, oh, Rabbi, I see Yankel the Katz of the butcher, name. And this was going on until finally my Rabbi said that Rabbi Yochum closed his eyes and started to shuffle, and he says, no, all I see when I look outside is a living cemetery. He says, there Moshe the Katzif was supposed to be the dying in Bialystok. And the other one, whatever, Shmerel, the shoemaker, he was supposed to be Chvais, this and this. Which doesn't mean that every single person can be a dying in Bialystok, and every person can be the Rav of Vilna. But, what he was saying was, to be Moitzi the Koiches, that these are people who haven't even started to discover, to recognize, just like us, every single one of us is sitting right here, to even begin to realize the koiches and nefesh that we have, to even begin. I was thinking so much about this, you know, like, so I was talking to my wife about this, at that time, September 11th, whenever, that kufa, I guess we're still in that kufa. So I was talking to my wife about these guys, these people that are going to Mamish, the heroic people that are going to save and to rescue. And I said to my wife, I could never do such a thing. Besides, I'm a big mefunik by nature. I'm very spoiled, and it's hard for me. You know, I get all upset if I have some dust on my shoes. It gets me annoyed. And I'm a teva. I'm a mefunik. You know, a Hungarian mother and father. You know, so I have a certain upbringing, and I'm afraid. I'm a pachdan, you know, to go and to climb and to go into these places and the building could fall any minute. You know, like, it's just, I couldn't do it. And so I was talking to my wife, we had a whole discussion. Then before I came to the shiur, I always stopped off to visit my parents. They live so in the Hillcrest side. I was talking to my father about it. And my father says, that's Nairishkeit. He said, that's not true. He said, my father said that when he was in the Milchama, when he was in the Holocaust, he said the things that he was doing, if you would have asked him 3 months before, could you ever jump off this thing or do this thing or to grab on, you know, he had to do such crazy things to try to survive. Such mudder things, and to help others also, not just yourself, to try to help someone else. My father said, I have told you that you're crazy, because as much as you've been pampered, I was pampered more. Elamai, the koiches and nefesh that we don't discover, we don't know. These people that they're going there, yom v'layel lo yishboisu, that they don't stop. We have this koiches and nefesh for learning. We have these koiches and nefesh when we come to being able to deal with anger, to deal with frustration, to deal with temptations and so on. But we're not moitzi the koiches ha'lebedikah basic for us, a living cemetery. Because a person who wasn't moitzi his koiches alapoil, who didn't draw out in his life those koiches, meaning those branches, those leaves, those fruits, so he's alive, but be'etzim he's not. In the pnimius he's not really alive. That's what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said, "Alabedikah beis akvaros," that the whole world is a living cemetery of people who were supposed to be, who could have been, and they're not. So Maral says, that's when Amoris is called a bore. It's a terrible term to be called a bore. Even Am Haaretz also has. It's also interesting. It has an Aretz in it, right? Was it Am Haaretz? The people of the earth. It's interesting too, no? Am Haaretz. What's that? Am Haaretz. So it's an indication of. I think that it might mean it's the It means the Olam, the people. That they remain perpetually for all 120 years, always in a state of what? Haaretz. It could have been, it should have been, it would have been, but it wasn't. Always the earth. The seed never took off. It never became a tree. That's why Aretz is a lashon of I want. Right? Eretz, Chazal already said. Eretz Yisrael, the tzaddikim said this, Eretz Yisrael means I want to be a Yid. Eretz Yisrael means I want to be a Yisrael. Eretz means to want something. Right, sir. So you have certain people that their whole lives they always want. They always want. They say, yeah, when the conditions are ripe. It's always, you know, when are you going to learn? When are you going to learn? So, you know, it has to be. You know, like, it's almost hard. The conditions are so strict. You know, it's almost impossible to find that window. Like, there's so many simonim that have to be there. You know, when the whole tachlis of you being a Jew is davka, not to wait for those. Not to say that there's not something for a rotzen, but very often a person thinks he has a rotzen and he's fooling himself. We're learning a lot about that with the P.S.S. in this Torah's last month. But a person could fool himself, chas v'shalom. How much does he want? I tell this to my students all the years. I have a lot of kids. I say, you should go to Eretz Yisrael. You need to get away a little bit, go to yeshiva. I know, Rabbi, I want to, but I can't. So that's not true. It's partially not true. I see that with kids, 99% when they want something, they can. By the older people, they don't really want them. But kids, if a kid wants something, I have a kid who come and say, you know, he got his license, he wants a car. The kid can't even buy a bag of potato chips. But you can be sure that comes June, give him a couple of months, he'll be going up and down Main Street in this car. Me'achuz. If he wants. If it's a rotzen, my rotzen is unbelievable. But what do we know? It's like we're not might see the kaychis of a pile. Ray La'el. Look back upstairs after 46. Makasha Yoyd says Hanefesh Lapoya Lubishlaimus. Right after 46. Then, when the Nefesh is Yoyd says Elapoyal, when as a result of this relationship with the body, if it's being planted in the body, the fruits begin to grow, that's the Shlaimus. And Mitzad HaShlaimus Shalom, He Dovke Lamal Im Hashem. And the ultimate goal, the ultimate Tachlis is the Vekas to Hashem. Attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. K'may Shehi Ba Hilamala. Let's look at footnote 48. In other words, that the ultimate shlemus of a person is to be able on his own to somehow return to his original state, to go back home, to get back home. 48. Ki chol dover ro'i lo shuvel haschalosa. This is in all the moral throne. We see this in all of creation, that everything is yearning and craving to be back in its root, in its place. Everything wants to be... When I drive through my old neighborhood, you feel like even though when I was living there, I was always davening, I need to get out of this place, I can't stand this place, you know. Not my parents, God forbid, but you know. I just, I've got to get out of this, I'm sick of this neighborhood, I'm sick of the whole... See the same guy watering his lawn, and this guy, you know, this. I can't take it anymore. And you want to get to something... And then as you get old, you know how it is, you... So then there's more nostalgia, more of a feeling of connection, because we're getting closer. As you get closer to dying, as you get closer to 120, so you're beginning already the journey back home. And therefore, there's a certain homesickness that's more profound. As you get closer to home, meaning the end, there's already that feeling, there's more of a feeling that this is not so far from who I am. It's always like that. Like that's how Rabbi Yoshua explained By Shmuel Hanavi, it says, Tshuvosei haramosa kisham beisa. Tshuva, Soloveitchik explained that Tshuva means to return. Tshuva means to return. But the Goyim say it means repentance, it's a Goyisha word. Tshuva means to return. As it says by Shmuel Hanavi, remember that Shmuel Hanavi used to go around the whole Eretz Yisrael. He was a traveling shayfet, right? He used to go around the whole Eretz Yisrael. But it was a taina by his sons that they didn't. But Shmuel Hanavi used to go all around. But what? So Rav Soloveitchik said, but it says, "Utshuvosei haramasa." Where did he live? He lived in Rama. So it says that from the moment he left home, he was always dreaming and thinking and planning about being home. So he says that a Jew in this world, Rav Soloveitchik said, he thinks he's going further and further away from his beginning. So now he doesn't learn anymore. He doesn't keep mitzvahs anymore. He's going further away. But really, it's one great circle. And in a circle, every single step that you take away from your point of origin, every single step that you take away, you're getting one step closer. Right? Every step away from where you started, you're also beginning your return. So really, there's this mysterious process of Tshuvosei Haramosa. Why? Kisham Beisei. Because that's your house. So the Maral says this in many places, that everything in the world has this nature, this innate need to go back to its beginning. Ukefisha kosev b'nesiv ha-tshuva, in the footnote on the next page, as it says in the Nesiv ha-tshuva, ki hu yizborach ha-scholas ha-kol, and of course Hashem is the beginning of everything. Ki ha-kol roi lo shuva al-dova shu ha-schol aloi, and everything wants to return to that which is its beginning. And if we feel that way when it comes to going back to your old house, or to go back and visit the old neighborhood or the friends or the family, could you imagine? Allah has kama v'kama. Who understands the mystery of a Jew? And how you could have a Jew? You know, I, one of the greatest pleasures I have in life is when I talk to an old Jew. You get an alti yid, even though he's not shomer mitzvos, right? You meet one of these old Jews, you know, and you say, Rabbi Yid. And he sees a guy that looks like, you know, he's a religious, he says, and right away he feels like telling you, right? He says, I want to tell you something. I learned, you know, in Chachmei Lublin, right? I was in Chachmei, see, yeah, you were in Chachmei Lublin. What, you saw Rabbi Meir Shapir? Rabbi Meir Shapir, right? You know, he doesn't have that geschmack when he talks about anything in the world. Even though he's been a rangatan in the stock market, and he's got this and that, and all kinds of things he's been doing. When you say Rabbi Meir Shapir, ooh. And he'll tell you, and he'll say things. What do you think? You think you know something? You think you've seen something? I was by this. I saw the vision, say Rebbe, you know, in Grace Vedan in 1931. So all these zichronis, they're so powerful. They're so amazing. It's not a piteva. Because it's the hascholas hakol. It's the beginning of everything. And that's why I mentioned last year. I mentioned to you. Had a Satmarov said about the Lubavitcher Rebbe that there's a Kliga there, a Mendel. He said once to Satmarov about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he says, Mendel's a Kliga. He's smart, the Lubavitcher. He says, what, you think he has a whole need to go putting a tefillin on these people, the Mechal, the Shabbos, that they should, what, to mazaka them, that they should have tefillin once? What's the nafkimi? They're not going to put on tefillin tomorrow. What do you mean mazaka them tefillin? Okay, shouldn't be okay, pop the Lamar tefillin, okay. But what's the big schia? So Satmarov says, that's not why he does it. Satmarov said, that the reason that the Lubavitcher sends him to put tefillin is that this person might not have thought that he's a Jew for the last 40 years. At first they say, are you Jewish? Right? And to say, yes, I'm Jewish. To hear the words, yes, I'm Jewish. And then to put on tefillin, do we understand what it means that the last time was when he was by mitzvah? and how that brings back such strong, strong feelings. Why? Kisham Besa. Because that's his home. That's where he began, even though he hasn't been doing this for 60, 70 years. 60, 70 years. There's a friend of mine, he has an uncle. He passed away now. This uncle, he learned in the Radomsky yeshivas there, I think in Warsaw, I don't know where. He was learning in the yeshivas. The guy's not only was he not from Hashem Yerachim, he was doing all kinds of crazy things. All kinds of crazy things. So whenever I would see him, very friendly guy, whenever I would see him, he lived not far from here. So we grew up together, this friend, we were very close, and I would see him because his parents, my friend's parents, lived in Eretz Yisrael. The mother's father, I lived in Eretz Yisrael, so he stayed a lot by this uncle. He couldn't eat there. They had tarfus in the house. But they ate tarfus in this house. But I would go there to pick up my friend, and he'd say, Moshe, what are you learning? So I'd say, Chum. Chum? Where are you holding Chum? Tasvav. And it was Reni Masechta. Any mesach, anywhere, toisus of the kash, the mashus of the zoy, the malams of the zoy, and he would hold his hand on his head, like this. And he was halfway. Oh, but such a geschmack, you know, he didn't want to stop. So I said to him once, I said, Mr. So-and-so, it seems to me that you really enjoy Torah. So why don't you? You know, it was chutzpah for a kid to say that. But I said in the night, I said, well, you know, I'm the rabbi. Why don't you start again? So, yeah. Then, you know what happened? So my friend told me that for 3 days after I asked him that, he saw, late at night, his uncle go into a room and take out his sefer and put on the yarmulke in there. And to learn, he was learning. He didn't want him to see. He said, it's not for me, I can't, it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. You have to believe in a Jew. Because the Jew, the Haschol, was from Hashem Yisbarach. And if the haschol is min Hashem Yisbarach, it means the soif is Hashem Yisbarach. It means the end is Hashem Yisbarach. That's what he says, ki hu Yisbarach haschol is hakol. Hashem Yisbarach is the beginning of everything. Ki hakol roi lo shevel dovishu haschol Elohim. Everything in the world comes back to where it started. Goes back to where it started. The fish go back. And I tell you this, I took my kids like 2 years ago, they saw one of these, what's it called? They have this movie, they don't, 3D, you know, Max. Not the music. IMAX. They had a thing about Alaska. I told my wife, if we would ever be able to afford to go someplace, I would like to see. I'm not interested in seeing. I'm not interested in Europe. To go to Croatia. I'm not interested in these places in Paris and London and China and Japan. But I saw this about Alaska. You see how beautiful. I'm such a thing. How beautiful it is. And the whole film was about the she'ifa of the entire Bria to come back to its makor, to come back to its beginning. The whole film is only about this she'ifa, the movement of all life to come back to the beginning. It's something special, something beautiful. That's the Maral's Lashon. Everything comes back to its yisayt, to its foundation. That's why it's so important to plant a good foundation. That's what chinuch means, that's scholar. That's why it's so important that a child should be able to have good memories. And you have to make a cheshbon when you bring them up, that they should be able to look back and have good memories. Because the only thing that saved Yosef at Tzadik is when he was with Potiphar's wife, is when he saw the Muzdiuk Neshalavah, he saw his father's face. So it's scary. We have to be, because our kids are going to have Nithyonis like that too. Maybe worse, God forbid. So we have to think, am I the kind of a person who on that day when my child goes through those things, when he goes back in his mind to the Haskalah, is he going to see me? What's he going to see when he thinks back about the Haskalah? I saw once a very upsetting thing I'll share with you, that I think Shlomo Kalibach, that he said that he once, he met a Yid, he was talking, there was a, I think it was a survivor of the Holocaust. They were talking. It was a whole Maisa. What came out from the Maisa was that in the conversation that Shlomo made the Ha'ara, which I think is such a true Ha'ara. It was made by that person, I don't remember. But the Ha'ara was after the Milchama, after World War II. So it's interesting. Some of the Yidden came out and they ended up starting again and being Shomer Shabbos. Some of them. My father said all the white beards from Williamsburg, the ones that he knows, is they didn't have any beards in Pais in 1949 and 1950 when they first came. He knows a lot of them, right? They came out together. But over time, many of them were not even, in the beginning, were not Shomer Mitzvahs in the beginning. Were not Shomer Shabbos. A lot of these nice Jews in 1949, 1950, wasn't so passionate. But over time, many of them came back. Many of them didn't. Many didn't. So in the conversation that Kalibach had with someone, that Shomer had, came out like this: why is it that some people went back and others didn't to Yiddishkeit? Why is it? So this person said to him, I think that's what it was, that those who survived the war, they were groping for something, to hold on to something. After Muhammad, everything was destroyed. There was nothing. They were looking to hold on to something. So he said that those who were able to look back on their early years with warmth and with fondness, meaning that the atmosphere of Yiddishkeit in the house was with love, was bi'ahava. So when they had the rug pulled out from under them, and they needed desperately, they didn't know what was going to be in their future, they were coming to a strange country, all you could do is turn to the past. What else do you have? So those who had a loving and warm recollection of Yiddishkeit, of a Rebbe who had a kind word, of parents, so Nimela, they grabbed back onto that. But those who looked back at Yiddishkeit as being the source of their misery and suffering, which many of them did, if you talk to them, they'll tell you. So their attitude was, it's bad enough, I got hacked in Treblinka in Mauthausen or in Auschwitz, so I didn't need to get clapped again. I had enough of it, I'm not going back to that. You know, I read that a long time ago. It's something that you think about. Something you think about. What's it going to be with our parents, with our children, our grandchildren, that they should be able to feel that when they associate Yiddishkeit with everything that's loving and that's warm and that's beautiful. And I'll tell you, when I think back on most of my experience growing up in yeshiva, that's bechlal not the recollection that I have. And mostly there were angry, nasty people. Mostly. But Baruch Hashem, my parents and there were one or two rebbeim who, because of those one or two, imamish, I still have a shaykhis. If not for those one or two, most of my friends went off. Now a lot of them came back on the Shomer Shabbos, but for years and years, what was the point? You know, it's bad enough you get somebody gets how much can a person take? So it's so important. If they're rebbeim, if the teachers, if the parents would understand this. That even if you miss out on one Rashi or one Blad Gemara, but if it's filled with ahava, it's filled with the warmth, then that child's going to learn thousands of Blad Gemara. But if that child's recollection of Gemara, like many of the people you talk to when they get older, when you say the word Gemara, you see them. So Gemara's like they cringe. You know, then you have to first try to get them in like a little Navi and some, you know. But to get the Gemara is like, why? Because so many people have such vivid recollections of feeling oppressed and feeling, you know, which that it shouldn't have been, because Gemara is so beautiful and it's so wonderful, and if it's given over by a Hava with love and a Rebbe who cares. So I always say this, and maybe I once told it to you, but I've said it in the Shiurim a number of times, that where I went to high school, so I was in, there was a Shia, okay, and he was a wonderful Talmud Chacham, a used Talmud Chacham, but he was from the old school. Well, let's leave it at that. You know, it was, I guess they call it tough love, that's what they say nowadays, but it was really... Huh? Yeah. But in his own way, he did. In his own way, he did. But it was very, very much biskasi. It was very hidden. There was one of the rebbeim there that all the loyuslos were put into his class. He was a Lubavitcher. This rabbi was a Lubavitcher. All the loyuslos were in there. They stuck him with anybody like that. Anybody that was crazy, that wasn't normal, that couldn't learn, that couldn't read, they put him into this. I remember his name is Rabbi Lustig. They put him into there. And we used to make chayzik. These were the loyuslos, the guys in the Vedic Shiur, and we made fun of these guys. And I remember he used to take them for walks. He used to sing in those days. Lubavitch was still, you were allowed to sing with a rasta, right? So, and he used to take them for walks. And I can tell him, Torah and Friday, you know, he would say over to Chassidus, and he would... And the guys were devoted to him, and we always made fun of these guys. And I remember he brought a deck of cards. And I remember he's playing with the guys for money. They're playing, and the Rosh Hashiva came, and because he heard that there was somebody gambling in the yeshiva, and he threw open the door, starts, we were all following, and he starts screaming, "Who's?" And this Lubavitch is sitting there, you know. And the guys loved him, and I never saw such a rabbi. We never had such a rabbi. We never saw such a thing. You know something? And I've said it in public many times, that those guys came out, everyone came out Shema Torah Mitzvah Simcha. Everyone. And learning, and goes to Daf Yomi's, and he stayed in touch with them, he had a shaychis to them. He was by the chasnas. Who else we had by the chasnas? What? Who wants to even think back? This is But one person, the kind of a difference that one person can make, it's something which is hafledik. Yeah. However, the Maral goes on and explains. All right. So in the end, everybody comes back. That's what tshuva means. There's a sheif in all of creation to go back to the beginning. On page kuf chaf aleph on top. However, the Maral says there is a difference between the Marshal and the Nimshal. There is a difference between this example of the seed and the earth and the Nimshal of the body and the soul. There is a difference. Ke'ilon, because by the tree, Ha'itzas, Tayer, Ha'anafim, V'ha'olin, V'tzuras, Ha'peiros, Ha'kol, Hu'tivi. By a tree, it's a natural scientific process, whatever photosynthesis and the rest of that stuff that goes on. It's a natural thing. You put this in. Again, it would be a pella. If you plant the bananas and pineapples come out, you know, it's scary. You have to. Something funny is going on. So, there's a derech hateva. There's a natural scientific formula that brings to these results. Aval ha'adam, however, with man, it's not that. It's not scientific with man. It's not just, it's not teva, it's not pure, cold nature. It's not the same thing. You put a seed into the ground, you get water, a little shine. It's not. He says the difference is, Aval ha'adam, he says, ha'kol mitzad ha'nefesh. Everything is mitzad ha'nefesh. Now, what does that mean, mitzad ha'nefesh? So in footnote 50, he says, perish, yikarish lo'adam hu nafshay. The complication is that man has a soul, and it means that man has free choice. It's not the same thing. It's not that the earth makes a hachlota, that the seed has to make a hachlota, a decision. It's there's a natural process that is set into motion when you put the seed into the earth. For the human being, it's far from. It's not an automatic. That's what we're talking about. It's chinuch. It's Torah and it's mitzvahs. Without Torah mitzvahs, and without receiving what the nefesh needs, it's not the derech ha-teva. Adarabim, if you leave a person in this world up to his teva, he'll be a wild beast. He's a behemoth. Teva? What's teva? The teva of human beings is to kill. Hello. Therefore, it's not the same thing as putting the seed into the earth. Back on top, Zakol mitzad nefesh ki ein malosei achroin etivis klal. Because the Chavetz Chaim is not the derech ha-teva. You understand? That kind of fruit is not teva. It's not like you just put in the right thing and then it comes out of Chavetz Chaim. It's not so pleasant. The boys are spending more hours in the yeshiva than they were able to in those days, and more years in the yeshiva than they were able to nowadays. Would you ever have such a thing? People sit in yeshiva so many years. So you think that we'd have we should have a whole city of Chavetz Chaims and Ramoshes and should be Vilna Gaons. You would think. Every single, just judging by the Mishalach and the combined Sunday. If you make a cheshbon based upon what they're saying, they're like, you know, a quarter of a million people that are learning at the different Kailalim. You'd think that there would be who knows what. So where? Who? It's not b'derech ha-teva. It's not just because you put a gemara in front of somebody, he sits and learns. What? That's it? That's all? It's hishtadlus. It's not v'ayder. It's being a gardener. It's really being a gardener. It's really working very, very hard. That's why Rabbi Nachman has a whole Torah about the tzaddik, who's called the gardener of souls. Mordechai Torah, he has in Likutei Moharan in that. They mean of being a gardener. That's what it is. It's unbelievable. Or else, what is it? You know what? There's a mice in the Balsham. I just told this. There was a friend of mine who was very proud. He was saying that in his yeshiva, they make every single boy put on a hat and jacket. Like that. And that, he wouldn't tell me about how they're learning, where they're holding, about the midas, that everybody wears a hat and jacket. So I told him, no, I'm not against it. I wear myself a hat and jacket. But I thought it was odd that this is the one nekuda that he thought was most significant. So I told him, listen, There's a Meister Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh that there was a Yid who he was a Tyre Yid. He was a very precious Jew. He refused ever Friday night to make Kiddush unless there would be an Aruch, a guest. He wouldn't make Kiddush b'shum Eifen unless there was a guest. And this went for years. It once happened a Friday night. It was a miserable blizzard, a storm, and there were no poor people there. Nobody was going anywhere. They were afraid. So it's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock Friday night, the family is hungry, the Shum Eifin is not going to make Kiddush. And you know what the Baal Shem Tov said in Shemayim, what a tumult this is making in Shemayim, this Yid is not going to make Kiddush without an Irish, he's not making Kiddush. Right to 12 o'clock, this in Shemayim is such a tumult that now they're getting Eliyahu Navi ready. Even though Shabbos usually not, but Eliyahu Navi is coming to be an Irish by this Yid. What happens? So it's already 12 o'clock. So the Yid was already very late. So what did he do? He said, "What am I going to do?" So the family was complaining. So he brought in a horse from the stable, and he put a hat and a jacket on the horse. And he says, "Vayeva yoyma she." That was his. He made a horse. He made the fair into an ayra. So Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, "Can you imagine? He could have had Eliyahu Navi instead. He had a fair." That's what I said to this guy. I bought a fair with a hat and jacket. Not stomach fair. Not just a horse. It's a horse that wears a hat and jacket. The chiluk. How do you make How do you make a human being that in pnimius be'etzim, that be'etzim he should be such a person that's only with unbelievable gardening, with hishtadlus, with the parents and the rebellion and the kid, that's the only way. It's not tivis, it's not natural. It's not something that happens. Because you think as you send to yeshiva, a lot of parents think, I'm paying so much money for tuition, the stamma will make him an elech yid. If I'm paying so much money, he has to come out religious. It's got to be. You know, I'm paying $8,000, $9,000, this, that, dormitory, who knows. Textbook must be a $10,000. This kid's better come out, he better come out to be not just from, he better be a big tzaddik. I'm paying so much money. That doesn't work like that. It has to do with how you speak at home, what you do, how you garden that neshama that was given to you in your little kindergarten, in your house. Every single second. It's not tivi, it's not natural. He says, Aval ha'odam ha'kol mitzad ha'nefesh. I'm sorry, came also achon tivis kol. Ragesh lo'odam nefesh alukis miyuchedes. The human being has a godly soul. It's not teva, it's not natural, it's not something like a scientific thing, like a plant, that depends upon certain conditions, external conditions. In accordance to this godly soul, Moshe came mitzvahs miyuchados. The Baruch Shalom gave us the tools, the gardening equipment. The gardening equipment that the Baruch Shalom gave us are the mitzvahs, and the nefesh alakis requires those. In other words, when it comes to shemini atzeres, the neshama needs that, needs the hakafis. When it comes to the zman kriyishma, it needs the kriyishma. Those are the tools. Those are the gardening tools. Ashiruim lai. Ulekach nosim lai Hashem is bracha Torah. Therefore Hashem gave us something, the Torah, which is completely unnatural. It's not from this world. It's something which is above, which is beyond this world. The bilti tivis. It's not part of this world. It's something which is beyond the world. It's something beyond the world that Hashem has given us to carry us to our point of shleimus, which is beyond this world. Val yoda. Through the Torah, Yetzei Odom Leparol HaShleimus, man can go and reach his Shleimus. He can reach his Shleimus. Therefore, we learned earlier, and he brings down the footnote, we learned in Paragimel, this, the Maral explained, is itself sufficient evidence and proof that Torah is Min HaShemayim. The Torah comes from something beyond this world. Torah can't be from this world. Spoke about this a little bit Wednesday night in Flappish, and we'll talk about this on Shabbos. The Davka, the Shabbos is called the Matan, is called a gift. Right? Matan Taifi Yeshli. Shabbos is called a gift. And also the Torah is called a gift. Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah as a wedding gift. It's called a gift because really man on his own can't possibly, like the Gemara says in the Dharm, that for the whole 40 days Moshe Rabbeinu was, Hashem was teaching him, he kept on forgetting, teaching him forgetting. But finally, the 40th day, Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah as a Matan, as a gift. As a gift. Why? Because on his own, a human being is incapable of grasping the Torah. The Torah is Min HaShemayim, it's beyond man. It's something that was given to a human being to lift him above the constraints of this world. But it's only something that from outside that can take man to that place. From inside it can't. You can't free yourself from your own prison. Torah has to come from something beyond the grasp of him. That's why ultimately Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't grasp it. Hashem gave it to him as a gift. Because it's Eloki, it's godly. And without the Torah, we can't come to that point. We can't reach that level. For who Asher Ramaz HaKosuv, and this is what's hinted at. All of this what we're talking about now is the hint in the Pasuk. Ki Ha'odam Eitz HaSada. Man is compared to the tree of the field. Kamashin is Bar, the Malkam Acher. And we're going to talk about, we're going to understand and learn on a deeper level. That's what we're up to, making a simon there. What that Malkam Acher is, we'll see in the footnote. And we'll finish the parak, the rest of the parak goes fairly quickly. And then we'll learn a maimon in Chassidus to help Al Derech HaBal Shem Tov to understand this whole inion of Kiyah Adam Eitz HaSav. Shkoyach.